Come on, let's give the Lord a clap off. Let's thank God for the worship team. Praise Lord. Thank God for the pulpit ministry, ushers, the prayer warriors. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's thank God also for the sound team. Amen. Sometimes that's a thankless task back there. We only notice them when it goes wrong. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. And it's been going right so far. Praise God. Why don't you take your Bibles this morning, turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. We're going to read from verses 5 to 12. We're also going to read from Luke 13, 20, 21, Matthew 13, 33. And the scripture should be up on the screen also, but it's good to carry your own sword, to bring your own Bible. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's just stand. Those of you who are able to stand, let's stand for the reading of God's word. Amen. Let's salute the word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Matthew 16. And the word of God reads thus. Now when his disciples had come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said to them, take heed and beware of the leaven or the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, O you of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves because you have bought no bread? Do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Nor the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many large baskets you took up? How is it you do not understand? I did not speak to you concerning bread, but to beware. Somebody say beware. Tell you never be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Another portion of scripture, Luke chapter 13, verse 20 to 21, reads like this. It says, and again he said, to what shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like leaven, it is like yeast, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till it was all leavened. Somebody say, all leavened. Matthew 13, verse 33 says this. Another parable he spoke to them. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal until it was all leavened. Somebody say, all leavened. Let's pray. Father, in the matchless wonderful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we come before you today, and as we're gathered around your word, we pray by the Spirit of the living God, Heavenly Father, that you'll just administrate, Heavenly Father, all that takes place and is said. We pray that you'll inspire. We pray for divine inspiration and that your word will come forth unadulterated, uncorrupted, Father God. Lord, my God, in purity, Lord, in simplicity. Lord, speak to the secret things of our heart. Let there be a sense within us, Lord, that's able to discern, Father God, and have that dynamic or spiritual acumen to discern, Father God, your will, your purpose, and what you're saying to our lives. May your word be as the seed, Lord, my God, which you've called it to be, and may it rest and fall on the good soil of our hearts, the noble soil of our hearts. Take root and bear fruit, Lord, we pray, to your honor and to your glory. And everyone said, amen. Before you're seated, I want you to turn to 2 people and say, don't despise my small beginnings. Say, you know what? Tell somebody else, hey, listen, don't disrespect my small beginnings. Amen. You go ahead and be seated. Praise the Lord. Amen. As the portions of scripture we read just now, one of the common denominators in all 3 of those portions of scriptures was leaven. Somebody say leaven. We may understand it today to mean yeast. And also in one of the scriptures, Jesus said, what can I liken, or what can I compare? Or in other words, how can I let this generation know what the kingdom of heaven is like? Well, how many people know when Jesus came and John the Baptist was around too, they both walked around saying, repent, repent, amen. In other words, be ready for a change of heart, a change of mind, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, or the kingdom of God is at hand. And it's one thing walking around telling people to repent, the kingdom of God is at hand, the kingdom of God is at hand. But how many people know many times Jesus spoke in parables? Somebody say parables. This is a way of conveying and communicating a spiritual truth via a natural means. When he spoke about sowing the farmer, like is sowing the word, and the birds would come and pick up the word, and sometimes the word is sown amongst weeds. That's people that are too busy. And he would communicate things, and he would find something natural, something that is common to us all, so that we help us understand a spiritual truth. So here he's saying now the kingdom of heaven. Somebody say the kingdom of heaven. This thing that John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven, this thing that Jesus, the kingdom of heaven, have been walking around saying, repent, repent. Listen, open your heart, open your minds. The kingdom of heaven is near. It is at hand. And then he goes on and says, you know what? Maybe let me help this generation try and understand what the kingdom of heaven is like. And then he says in Luke 13, which we read 20 to 21, Matthew 13, verse 33 said, What can I liken? What is comparable? What could help me explain to them what the kingdom of heaven is like? And then he says, it is like leaven. It is like yeast. That is. How many people know what leaven or yeast is? It is like leaven that a woman or someone took and just put in the dough and put in the flour, and they put it in the oven, and that little thing that they place within the dough cause it to rise and to grow, not partway. How many people know that it says it was all leaven? It was every single part of that dough was affected, was influenced, was impacted, was changed, was transformed. Can't even know if they didn't put the leaven or the yeast in and just put the dough without the leaven in, it would have came out flat. Flat. But the leaven, just have somebody say leaven. You know, leaven or yeast is really a powerful fungus that can cause a lump of dough to rise. I tell your neighbor, I ain't no lump of dough. But I need a rise. Imagine this microscopic, seemingly insignificant particles being added to dough, and then it's allowed to go to work. Somebody say work. Leaven also is, or yeast can ferment liquids into alcohol. I remember way back, somebody say way back, before I came to the Lord, but the Lord was with me, amen. And one day, for some reason, the police locked me up. And then the judge and the jury believed what the police had to say. And then they put me in prison. Could you believe that? And I remember being in prison, man, and me and the guys were there. And one day, this guy, he came in from this visit. And he had this little packet, I don't know how he got it in there. Don't ask me how. Just this little packet of stuff, And we was like, ooh, drugs. But it weren't drugs. He goes, this ain't drugs. He says, this is leaven. This is yeast. I go, what are you doing with that? He goes, watch. And he went and got this bucket. And when they gave us the fruits, he would keep all the fruits. When they gave us the sugar, they would keep all the sugar. And he put all these fruits and the sugar in this bucket. And then he went and got some water. Okay, what are you doing? And he took out this little packet and emptied it into this bucket, covered it over, and we was in prison then, lowered the bucket into the toilet and covered it over, so in case the officers come around, they're searching and all that, you just sit down. No, nothing going on here. And after a few weeks, you know what happens? What was in that bucket? Oh my gosh. It became alcohol. One day he came out, he goes, here, try this, Bobcat, try this. That's what they used to call me back in the day. Man, that whole weekend, man, we were slaughtered. And I said, wow, what done that? He said, just this little bit of yeast, that little packet that I had. How many people know leaven can take something that has a nondescript properties and make it potent and powerful? Amen. So potent and strong that it made you start walking different and behave, because we started walking different and behaving different after we drank that. Jesus said, that's just what the kingdom of heaven is like. You get the kingdom of heaven inside of you, it's going to make you potent. Woo! And strong. And you'll start walking different. Hello, somebody. And how many know when you become, when you start getting strong and potent because of the kingdom of heaven, how many know you could even get other people intoxicated with the Spirit of God? Amen? With the Spirit of God. Praise the Lord. Leaven also, or yeast, and I'm not going to expound upon this because some of us know, can also be the cause of painful infections and discomfort. Praise the Lord. When you've lived a bit, you'll find that. Amen. But we're not going to elaborate there. Amen. And I believe that when Jesus is saying, listen, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven. It is small, seemingly nondescript, unimportant. People will say it's insignificant. Hey, this little small, what, that ain't nothing. It's not important. Jesus said, no, the kingdom of heaven is like yeast. It's like leaven. Leaven. That when it's introduced or brought into contact with someone's life, with someone's heart, amen, with someone's environment, let me tell you something, it will go to work and begin to raise things and to begin to bring power and intoxicate and leave a marked difference and change and transformation. Somebody said, give me some leaven. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10, the Bible says, do not despise. Don't have contempt. Don't look down. Don't get bummed out because you have a small beginning. Because you've got something small to work with. Somebody say small. Zechariah 4:10 says, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. Wow. We missed that, didn't we? It says, don't despise, don't look down, don't have contempt, don't disrespect this small thing. Because God is actually rejoicing to see the work begin, to see the plumb line. Somebody say the plumb line. You know what plumb line is? It's what those builders kind of use when they want to measure something up, or it's like a measurement thing. It's like a, you know, they want to get the gradient. And, you know, sometimes you're walking down the street or you're driving somewhere, you see these people with these kind of like tripods and these apparatus, and I don't know what they're doing, but they're measuring something and they're trying to get the light and the line of sight, the gradient of the ground, and they're testing. How many people know that they've got plans? And that's what it says. God says, listen, don't look just because something's small. How tiny something is, it's not going to move God. You know what God gets excited with? That somebody's beginning to plan. Somebody's beginning to strategize. Somebody's marking up and lining up. God says, I rejoice when I start seeing people planning and strategizing and thinking about, like, some of you need to line up your husbands. Line up your wives, line up your children, line up your business, line up your ministries. Start planning. Don't allow how small and the vision ahead of you to intimidate you. God is happy when you even just start planning. You might not have nothing to work with. How many someone that's a small beginning? He says don't have contempt for your small beginning. You might not even have nothing but just faith. God's saying, step out and start believing. He says, God rejoices when you get that thing inside you, that spirit inside you, and say, you know what? I'm going to start planning. I'm going to start measuring. I'm going to see what it's going to take to conquer. Come on, somebody. To win. To believe God for this breakthrough, for this miracle. Eh? Don't despise it. It doesn't matter what the doctor says, what the bank manager says. Don't matter what your circumstances say. Don't matter what your situation is. It don't matter. When it comes to believing God, God says, start measuring. That makes me happy. Start planning. Start strategizing. Start looking ahead. Don't allow those other things to intimidate you. Somebody says, I'm going to step out and measure. Start measuring up them kids and see how much prayer and fasting and what you got to do, amen, to see God touch their lives. Start measuring up for that business, for that career, for that ministry. God gets happy when we start to measure. Hallelujah. He gets excited. Because God says, yeah, I got the potential. I got the power. I just need you to work with me. How many people know you got to go to work with God? Got to go to work. I think sometimes we need to remember our small beginnings. We need to be able to, you know what, sometimes take time out and
remember our small beginnings and look back. Somebody say, look back. Someone saying now, well, the Bible says in Philippians 3 that forgetting those things that are behind. The Bible says in Isaiah 43 that forget the former things. I'm going to do a new thing. And when it says that, it ain't talk. It's saying forget your fleshy works. Forget those worldly accolades and plaudits. You know, the things that you used to do, you done in your own strength. But it doesn't say forget what God done and what God has accomplished. Even Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. Even Jesus wants us to remember the good things that he has done and what he's accomplished in our lives. Somebody say, I've got to remember some things. It's like somebody, you got to keep a testimony. Even in the Old Testament, God would say, man, when God done something great, the men and women of God would build memorials. Something that was a witness and a testament to that something had accomplished here in this place. And I understand that some of the Pharisees and the men of God, they would have their staff or their stick, and they would mark on their stick, I met God here, and God done this in my life. And God done this in my... How many people know we need to be able to, sometimes just to get perspective, because I don't know about you, sometimes I need perspective. Because sometimes life is like a roller coaster. Anyone ever been to Alton Towers? Yeah, Fort Park? Or when some of you were younger, if you can remember that far back. Yeah, like me, I just barely remember. I remember getting on some rides that I wish I never got on. Anybody ever been on a ride that you... I'm not talking about that ride. I'm talking about anybody ever been on a ride in life that you wish you never... Anyway, am I talking to anyone? Has anybody ever been on a ride that you wish you never got on? You know those rides, and you're like, woo! You go, Lord, have mercy, get me off of it. And you're screaming, how did I get on this ride? Who talked me into this ride? I don't know. I don't know how I got here, but somebody get me off of this ride somehow. That's what life is like sometimes. It's like a ride. And I'm like, somebody stop the world from spinning, because I want to get off. I said, well, I guess, honestly, I just want the world to stop. 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 Because I want to get off. This ride is too wild. Pick me them. Anyway. It's too much. Or is it only me? Or is it only me? I've had some wild rides. Somebody say, I've had some wild rides. You see, that's it. Sometimes I'm like, I'm having a wild ride, but I forget that I've had some wild rides. I forget that. Hang on a minute. Look back. Because sometimes you're not going to realize how strong you are in the spirit. You lose perspective because everything's happening now. And you think now is your start. But how many people know God's already, you've already started somewhere. You've already had small beginnings with God. You've got history with God. You've got testimonies with God. Sometimes you've got to be able to look back and say, hang on a minute. Wait a minute. Look how far God has brought me from. I was so small back then compared to what I am now. Oh my gosh. Look at the darkness he brought me out of. Look at the addictions he broke. Come on, somebody. Look how many years by his grace and his power I was able to just traverse and negotiate. Look at some of the stuff you've been through. Some of the stuff you had to handle. Some of the stuff you had to cope with. Ever people would have torn their hair out. Maybe you tore your hair out and you're wearing a little wig, but it don't matter. You're here today. Look what God has done. Look what God has done. Look what God brought you back from. Brought you from. How many people know? I mean, that was a small beginning. Look what God done. I feel like God's saying, tell some of you, you need to realize you're big boat, yeah. You're big boat, yeah. You're big. Bible says, those that know their God shall wax strong and do great exploits. You know God. You just forgot. You lost perspective. And the wild ride that you're on now, the wild ride that's ahead of you, that ain't nothing compared to where you've come from. Oh my gosh. Where you've come through. What you've had to cope with, somebody said, the grace of God. The grace of God. The grace of God. The grace of God. Whether you acknowledged him in your past or not, you got to realize, you know what? It was the grace of God. God had his angels watching over me, even though I weren't watching him. Come on, somebody. God was protecting me and my house and my people. It was the grace of God. I didn't deserve it. I didn't even pray for it. I didn't even ask for it. I thought I was walking in my own strength and my own power and providing for myself. But today I'm realizing, hey, it was the grace of God. Some people were going through less than what I was going through, but they didn't make it. You know why? Because it was the grace, it was the call of God upon my life. Can you say amen? It was the grace of God. The grace of God. When you wake up to it, man, it was the grace of God. You got to remember, man, those small beginnings and those small times. Some of you may be facing a Goliath right now. You're a wild ride. Don't look at me. You got on it. You paid your money and went into that place and you sat down and let them strap you in and they said, are you ready? And you said, yes. Some of you said, yes. Some of you said, I do. There's all types of rides taking place in this house. Praise the Lord. I like David in 1 Samuel 17. Now here's a good example for us, man. When we're facing something big and something, you're like, and we lose perspective. Oh my gosh, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can make it. Oh God, man, this is too much for me all over. Oh Lord, it's almost like you're making a fresh start. But because I look out here and I can see the ages of you, definitely not a fresh start for you. Amen. I ain't saying you're old. I'm just saying you're big, boat, yeah. All right, you're big. Tell your neighbor you're big. God is with you. If God before you, who can be against you? Amen. He said, I'll be with you. Come on, somebody. You know what? The same God you knew yesterday. I said, that's the problem. We forget yesterday. Because we're forgetting those things that are behind. How you can forget what God done for you? What are you going to tell people? Amen. In Peter, it says, man, always be ready in season and out of season to give people a reason why you have the hope that you have. And someone comes up to you and says, hey, Brother Robert, why do you believe in Jesus? What's God done? I forgot. You better start remembering. You better start getting some total recall. You better sit down on your bed sometimes and start worrying and being anxious about the future. Amen. And sometimes start meditating on your past and how good God has been to you and how he showed himself faithful and strong in your life and how he never left you nor forsook you and how he proved himself faithful because he's an ever-present help. Not in just your good times, but in your bad times, your troubles. He stood with you. Listen, the Bible says that Paul said, man, everybody forsook me. But God stood with me and strengthened me so that the gospel that I will live out this life he's called me to live. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Small beginnings. Bible says in 1 Samuel 17 that now David went up there to give his brothers some food and the whole of Israel, imagine that, a whole army, thousands of men. Thousands of men were terrified and they were cowering because of one giant. Goliath stood there and said, hey, you lot, come out. I defy your God. I defy you. Send one of your champions out here to challenge me. Wow. Wow. And a whole army of them stood there, terrified, petrified, anxious. Biting their nails, shaking. I ain't going on that ride. I don't want to go on that. Look how high that is. I can't be but. And this young, ruddy looking Johnny come lately. But he had a testimony. Oh, come on, somebody. Somebody's experienced God in their life already. He had a testimony. It says there that this David man, he went and he says, your servant has killed both lion and bear. He says, and this uncircumcised Philistine. he's going to go down the same way the others went down. Never, somebody said uncircumcised. Far as I'm concerned, that means to me this unqualified enemy. Can I tell you something? Your enemy and your challenge before you is not qualified to defeat you. Oh, you didn't hear me. I said, what lays before you, the challenge of your God, it's not qualified. It hasn't got the power to defeat you or frustrate you or stop you. Or, oh, you didn't hear me. You didn't hear me. Come on, let me tell you something. Your destiny is more qualified. The call of God qualifies you to succeed and to prosper and make it to the end. Whatever you face, whatever wild ride you're facing right now, no matter how small you might think you are, what lays ahead is not qualified to stop you. Praise the Lord. And God bless all three of you. I like this. He says in verse 37, he says, moreover, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion. Some of you had some paws on you. Anyway. He said, he will deliver me. The Lord who delivered me from the bear, he will deliver me. The same God who got you through your yesterday will get you through your today. And he will get you through your tomorrow. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. You face lions and you face bears and God has kept you and you're ready to face your Goliath. This isn't a time to be saying you're small and you're timid and you're weak. That time's done. Again, you're big boat here. You're strong in the Lord. You know God. You know your God. He's proved himself. My gosh, he kept us when we were in Egypt, when we were blind. And the enemy could have took our life any moment. But the grace of God was on you and I because he had a plan for you. Kept us coming through the wilderness, that rough time and tough time. He kept us. Kept us when we were rebellious and going left and going right, up and down. He still kept us. Kept us through a whole season of turmoil and trouble and weakness and trepidation and tribulation. Come on, somebody. Isaiah said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. How many people know that's a bad year when someone dies? That's a tough, and he didn't say in the day, in the year. He said, I saw God in the year. I saw God in, for some of us, we saw God in the years. We saw his faithfulness through years of darkness, years of trouble, years of struggle. So much to the point that you know what, we should get a revelation sometime. I believe it's in Psalms 117, maybe verse 17 or 18, where David had just been through some stuff and some struggles. And one day he'd been through all this stuff. And one day he said, you know what? I got it. I shall live and not die. And I shall declare the words of the Lord. That ain't some promise. That ain't something he's looking forward to. He's realizing this is an actuality on my life. This is the reality upon my life that I shall live. He's got, you know what? I'm going to live. That's what he's saying. I'm going to live. I'm going to thrive. I'm going to prosper. And as I thrive and as I prosper, I shall declare the words of the Lord. In other words, I'm going to let people see the light of God and the power of God. And I'm going to let them know that it ain't my strength. It's always been his strength. It's been God's strength that keeps you. Somebody said, I shall live and not die and declare the words of the Lord. Oh, you didn't hear me, man. Jeez, I shall live. Some of you just saying it as if it's some type of scripture, but it's not scripture. Jesus said, my words are life and they are truth and they are spirit. It needs to jump off the pages and get down inside of your heart and inside of your life. I shall live and not die and declare the words of the Lord. You stay there, mind that doctor. I shall live and not die and declare the words of the Lord. You stay there, mind your circumstances and your situations. You need to be able to stand up and say, no matter what you got to say, devil or world, why should I listen to you, world? Because the world hates me anyway. Listen, some of us, man, God has given you revelation and you keep checking with your flesh to see to get a confirmation. You keep asking somebody else's opinion. Is it so? Sometimes you're going to learn how to just shut down every voice and just listen to the voice of God and listen to the Spirit of God that is speaking to your life. I shall live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. My gosh, hallelujah. Yes, yes. I don't care what you got to say. I shall live and not die. been through too much to think I'm going to break down now. I've been through too much now to think I ain't going to make it. Listen, the times when I wasn't making it and it was His grace causing me to make it. Hang on a minute. I've got to wake up sooner or later and realize I'm going to live and not die. And I'm going to declare the words of the Lord. Come on, give God a praise in this place. I like that, man. Romans 8:37 says, now we know all these things. All these things. We are more than conquerors. Too many people, man, get stuck on being a conqueror. Get your little one victory and think so that's it. Eh? You know, you see, God wants you to get a habit. He wants you to turn in, not to, in the nicest possible, He wants you to turn into a junkie for victories. A junkie for breakthroughs. A junkie to always triumph and come out on top. He wants you to get, He wants you that when you're not getting your victory, you start getting the shakes. And you start kind of like clucking. And say, I ain't had a fix. I ain't had a win for a long time. I've got to find some time of trouble so I can get a victory in this place. A victory in my life. If I don't get my victory, somebody's in trouble. And it ain't going to be me. I'll pick a fight with the devil just to get my victory. See, there's them people that tried it one time. And then there's the people that tried it, I've got a habit. More than conquerors. I keep winning. I can't help it. I can't stay one place. I realize that God has called us to keep the faith, not just for today, to fight the good fight, not just for today. I'm waking up to the fact, hey, because I just testify that I'm going to live and not die, that I've got many, many years of fighting ahead of me. And I can't just be wicked and say, when will the world stop spinning? I just want to get off. The world will stop spinning when you stop breathing. Come on, somebody. So we got to learn how to keep fighting and keep pressing towards the goal. Come on, until Jesus comes and takes us. That's the attitude. Get used to being more than a conqueror. Get that lethargic, lazy mentality and put on that warrior spirit. Some of you sisters, man, just hitch up with your, tie it up and put on that warrior spirit. Come on, some of you men, yeah? And let's start fighting a good fight. Stop fighting them bad fights where every time you waiting for the bell to ring so you can go back to your corner. Pull me out. Throw the towel in. Your towel's dry. Ain't even got no sweat. Never mind blood on it. Praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, I'm fighting a good fight. Until the point of death. That's what it says. It says, listen, you keep the faith. All the way. Oh, you listen. When they got you in the morgue, man, and there's still something going on in your brain, man, in the name of Jesus. I don't care all the way, Lord, in the name. Because I don't even know, sometimes, man, when I say that, I say that because of this. Because sometimes some of us are losing. Or it seemingly looks like we're losing. You're trying to get up and you're just getting knocked down. And you're not getting knocked down. You're getting knocked down. You're getting knocked down. But you ain't dead yet. You ain't dead yet. And the thing is, when we get a few consecutive licks and defeats and knocked down, I've had seasons where I can't get up for a couple of years. Jeez, Lord have mercy. I think the only thing that kept me was that I was pastoring you lot. Because I'm not even sure if I wasn't pastoring, if I'd still be here. Are you hearing me? And sometimes if you know that you're given to gluttony, the Bible says, put a knife to your throat. If you know there's an area of your life that you got a weakness in and you're prone or you know, and you're going to mess things up, and you got to put kind of like implement something, put something in your life that's going to keep you on track until you get on track. Oh, you didn't hear me. Are you hearing me? Sometimes religion is good They say religion's dead. Sometimes religion is good. Sometimes it's good to say, if you know that, you know what, you ain't faithful in church, you need to say, you know what, man, I'm going to serve in this ministry and be here on time. And guess what? The days when you don't want to come to church, hello, pastor, because you got a responsibility, you got to be at church. Are you hearing the wisdom? Are you hearing it there? Put a knife to your throat. Put something in place that's going to make you do what you got to do until you can do what you got to do in the right way at the right time. Sometimes you're just doing it out of practice. Sometimes you're just doing it out of religion. Come on, somebody. See, religion sometimes is and ritual and practice sometimes has its purpose. It serves as a skeleton. And I want to tell you, God told Ezekiel, can this skeleton, can these dead bones live? He said, well, you know, Lord. I mean, no, you're going to take your religion, your practice, and start to and say, breathe and prophesy to it. And the dead bones will start to live. You'll start to live a vibrant life for Jesus Christ. It used to be all religion. It used to be all dead. But it's now time to start prophesying and speaking the promises of God and usher in the Spirit and the move of God through your life to awaken you, revive you, and restore you. We're in a year of revival. A year of restoration. A year when the fire that's inside you needs to be kindled so it becomes a burning furnace. A year when we return back to the things of old. A year when we find back that ancient path that many of us have veered off and veered from. A year when we declare the glory of our God. Revival. Restoration. You remember, that's why David prays, Lord, restore to me the joy of my salvation. Take me back to that place, to that time. Give me a fresh fire, a fresh wind. God will do it. Are you hearing me? Praise the Lord. I'm going to have to start closing in a minute. You're not getting me too excited. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Leavens, these small things, these small things, God is good. Praise the Lord. He said the kingdom of heaven, man, it's like leaven. Just that little bit of belief you got there. Work it. Put it in the oven. Ferment it. Nurture it. Nurture it. And it will start to work its way through. Your faith will start to work its way through you, your heart, your life, your household, come on, your ministry, your family, your community. Even as a church, and we can look around and say, okay, we're kicking off now. We're getting things started and up and running, and we've got this new, we started to measure out things and plan things and strategize things, and it's easy to sit back and say, why are they doing this? Why are they doing that? But how many of you know the word says, don't despise, don't scorn, don't have contempt, have some respect for what is taking place, because as far as God is concerned, he is happy, he is rejoicing that his people are once again returning back to him, and they're thinking about conquering. They're thinking of more than conquering. They're thinking about becoming more than conquerors. They're thinking about, you know what, I'm not going to just listen to all this prognosis and diagnosis of sickness and death and dysfunction and lack. Come on, somebody. His people, even though that's all out there, how many people know we're walking by in revelation and we start planning, we start strategizing for victory and breakthrough in your personal lives, on the job, for your career, come on, your business, and for your ministry. Hallelujah. We've even got a map of this whole community. As soon as we bought that map, Mama, I heard thunder in heaven. The Lord was clapping and rejoicing. Somebody's there doing the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Jesus. Matthew 16. I'm finished right now. Praise the Lord. Matthew 16, verse 6. I'm going to finish now. Then Jesus said to them, take heed. Listen, Destiny City. Beware of the leaven, the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Wow. Okay, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, yeast. When we receive Christ and we start to believe God, great and tremendous potential is available. the leaven will leaven everything. That means that there will be a complete and total victory, a sweeping victory. I mean, but no, that means sweeping victory. Everything. Every T will be crossed and every I will be dotted. A sweeping victory. Somebody needs to receive that. See, that there was a little... Everything. Oh, praise the Lord. That's exactly what that scripture is talking about. Beware. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Scripture we read says that the disciples and Jesus were like, listen, you've seen what I've done in the past. You guys are talking about bread. You're thinking about bread. Yet, just a little while ago, I fed 4,000 with just a couple loaves. I fed 5,000 with just a couple loaves, and we still had some left over. And you still think I'm talking about bread. Then the Bible says that they realize that he was talking about doctrine, tenets, principles, what we believe, what we hear. How many of you know you can hear that little negative thing? You know, nah, that ain't going to happen. What? They said you're going to be healed. There's going to be breakthrough. And God's going to do this. And God's going to be with you. And he'll give you the strength. And it will grow. And it will mature. And then there'll be a great transformation. And God will be with you. There's a little voice saying that says, no, it's not like that. He says, beware of. That's what he's saying. Beware of that. And guess the funny thing is, he called it leaven also. That means things, that little voices that we hear and repeat and retain, have the capacity and the potential to infect everything also. Remember we spoke how leaven can also cause an infectious disease, can poison. Leaven has that capacity too. It says, beware, watch out. You don't want to get your mind around stuff that is not going to kind of like substantiate and encourage your faith. If God says there's a deliverance is coming, you don't be around people, well, you're going to have to live with it. Well, maybe God wants to do it this way. Beware. Come on, somebody. Because you know what, man, I intend to save the whole house. Come on, someone. I intend to grow the ministry. I intend to use you as a light, amen, and use your voice as a voice to the Gentiles, amen, to touch people's lives.
Maybe just two people. Maybe just three people. And one of them is me.
That's leaven. So what? Beware. Because that has the, you know what leaven does? It has the capacity to turn you and I into complete and total rebels against God. You could be in church and saved and rebel and be in full rebellion against God in terms of what you're believing for. He wants to do one thing in your life, but this leaven has slowly worked its way into your heart and your life and your mind, and it's just got you on a just negative concept. Got you all messed up, got you leveled out. Come on, someone. Amen. But we thank God we're not at that place yet. And if we are at that place, we thank God that we can say, you know what? No more, man. I'm gonna rid myself of this negative thing. I'm gonna rid. How many know we can recognize lies? And the Bible says, take them captive and cast them down. Are you encouraged today? You should be encouraged because God is for you and God is on your side. Come on, stand with me in this place. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven. Repent. And receive the kingdom of heaven. He said, receive the kingdom of heaven. Come on, lift your hands in this place. Hallelujah. Let there be a change. Let there be a change of mindset. Let there be a repentance. You know what? Every place in your life where you have compromised, where you have let go. I was speaking before about how sometimes we could be getting beat down. I didn't finish the point, but maybe now is the time to finish the point. How it can seem like we're getting beat down and we're failing and we're failing and we're just going down. The tendency for some people then is to go into free fall. They just give up and allow themselves to sink and sink and sink. But how many people know even Jesus went down? But Jesus hung on to something. There was a word that says that God says, I will not allow my chosen one, my anointed ones, to suffer decay. Even as it looked like he was going down and everybody was celebrating, Jesus always knew he'd be coming back up. Oh, come on, somebody. How do you know he always knew he'd be coming back up? And I want to tell somebody in here, you're coming back up. This ain't a free fall. Amen. You're hanging on to a word of God, and God says, you're my chosen one, you're my anointed one, and I'm going to resurrect you right now. Somebody lift your hands in this place if you need some resurrection power this Sunday. You ain't going to wait till Easter. Come on. Amen. That's just a bit of religion. But God is in this place right now, and he's releasing resurrection power right here in this place. Lift your hands and lift your voice and begin to cry to God and say, God, resurrect me afresh. Resurrect me. There's no more free falling. Come on now. You're fighting back. I'm changing my mind. Come on, God. I'm in a small place, but I'm in a good place. I'm in a small place, but I'm in a strong place. I'm in a small place, but it's a great place. Because if God before me, who can be against me? Come on, somebody. We've got the leaven of the kingdom. Refute, rebuke, reject every lie of the enemy, every lie of Satan. Refuse it, reject it. Somebody say, I shall live and not die, and declare the works of the Lord. The works of the Lord. The works of the Lord. I shall live and not die, and declare. Somebody say, I realize I'm going to live. If I was going to die, I would have died already. I should have been dead already. But it ain't God's plan. If it was going to be the end of me, it would have ended a long time ago. So obviously, God Almighty has a plan for my life. Come on, give God some praise in this place. Hallelujah. 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 Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Woo! Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We're going to drive out some lies right now. Reya Sata. Mama Mama Koshande. Reya Ndeliyo Sata. Reya Sata. Mikotoro Lolo Lolo Sata. Reya Ndeliyo Sekim. Reya Ndeliyo Sata. Reya Ndeliyo Sata. Rekata Mama 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 Shande. Reya Ndeliyo Sata. Reya Sata. Reya Sata. Mama 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 Koshande. Reya Sata. Reya Sata. Reya Sata. Reya Sata. Of God says, those that know, not feel, not sense, but know, that know. Somebody say, I know God's alive, I know he's real. Shall wax strong. In other words, you're going to be able to move with a new degree of potency and power. And you will accomplish great things. You're going to influence not just your life, but your household, your workplace, your place of education, where you walk, your church, your ministry.
Now, just we're going to close very, very, very quickly. But before we close, watch this. Somebody say, I know. You know, we're gonna repent today. You know what? We're gonna make the altar call. And you know what? All that little compromise, those areas of our lives where we were just allowing ourselves to fall, and we just said, tra-la-la-la, whatever's to be will be. I don't even know. Destiny City, we are agents of change and transformation. It happens in us and through us. We work out our salvation. We work out our destiny, our future. You can make it happen. In fact, the motto of our ministry is that making life what it can be. Not accepting what it is, but what it can be. And we just thank God for the kingdom of heaven that starts off in our hearts. Jesus said it's going to start in your heart. It's going to start in your life. It starts as a small thing. Even likened it to our faith. He says, faith as small as what? A mustard seed. That tiny little thing is going to move mountains. Some of us, we wanted to get off the ride. We just wanted the world to stop spinning. It ain't going to stop spinning. So we could either have one of those, you know, those terrified white knuckle rides, screaming our way all the way around. Or we can step up and say, you've done it before, you're going to do it again. The same God that got me through when I was facing the bear and the lion is the same God that's going to take you and I as we face our tomorrow and today. Can you say amen? Now, we're going to open the altars right now. We're just going to pray. You know what we're going to pray for? As you step forward, it's a sign of repentance. Say, you know what, God? Nah, I'm getting rid of all that old stinking thinking. Endow me with a fresh anointing, a fresh move, fresh wind of your spirit. Somebody say, resurrection power. I thought I was going down, never to come back up. But we have a promise from God, an actuality, a reality. Come on, somebody. That he will not allow you to stay down. Somebody say, my God is bringing me right back up. Somebody say, I'm coming back. I'm coming back. I'm coming back in the name of Jesus. I'm coming back. I'm coming back. Even the Bible says that if the principalities had known that Jesus was would have resurrected, they would not have crucified the Son of Glory. Somebody's going to make the devil sorry for touching them. Somebody's going to make the enemy so mad, amen, that he even stepped out and tried to mess with your life because you're making a comeback. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Come on, just lift your hands and receive the resurrection power. Stretch your hands to God.
Come on, interact with your Lord. Cry out to Him in your seats, at the altar. Come on, this is not a man thing. This is you transacting with your God, with your Father in heaven. Oh God, give us a fresh fire, a fresh wind. Revive. Let there be a revival. Let there be a revival. Let there be a restoration. A restoration. A restoration. A restoration. A restoration. A restoration. Breathe, oh God. Breathe your spirit, oh God, upon this nation, upon this generation, we pray. Watch this, watch this. You know what? There's a wind blowing in this place right now. There's a spiritual wind. There's a divine wind. But how many people know you got to hoist your sails? You got to hoist your sails of faith. And I want to tell you something, that something is taking place here right now. I want to encourage you, if you can and you're in your seats, come to the altar, because there's something is about to blow through this place right now. And you need to hoist a sail of faith. Whether it's lifting your voice, whether it's crying out, whatever you got to do, you got to catch what's going to blow here right now. The Spirit of the living God is going to blow through your life right now. Hoist your sails. Hoist your sails. Get your sail. However you lift your sails, however you lift your sails, catch what God is doing. Do not miss what God is doing here. There's a revival. There's a revival. Revival. Revival.